Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
What's up? What's going on? Happy.
What's good? It's December 30th.
I know. Happy post-Christmas. That's what I was going to say. How was your Christmas?
It was really good. It was quiet. Nobody was sick, which is very good because everyone in Ohio and my family is sick. Like if we would have gone up, we wouldn't have seen anyone or we would have gotten sick. So it was like kind of good that we didn't go up this year, as much as I miss my family, at least seeing them. Like it was really nice for Eric and I to like have a slow Christmas morning. Like I made cinnamon rolls. Like we walked around, went downtown, saw some friends. So it was just like a really nice, wholesome Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Like a good old Christmas.
Yeah, no, I really do. My foot fell asleep, so I'm like trying to wake it
You're
up.
Like, wake up, bitch.
I'm like smacking it right now. Yeah, that's so good to hear. Like, not good that you didn't get to see your family, but like something's going on in Ohio. Like everybody, this is so funny. We both have our heating pads. Everybody is so sick, dude. My child got sick. Nobody in my family got sick, so I'm really happy about that because we were all together on Christmas day, and then the day after Christmas we celebrate with Alex's family, and no one really got sick except for my child, so thank God for that. Not that he's sick, but that nobody else got sick, because there's just been like a lot of shit going on. Like a ton of people are like, oh, like we had this stomach virus and I was like puking and I have this cold and X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, yeah, it's just like that terrible time of the year.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And then, like I said, like my kid like got a fever. I took him to the doctor and he's like beet red. Like his whole body was like red because he's a ginger and he has like really fair skin like his dad. And I'm like, we go to the doctor and they're like, does he normally get red when he has a fever? I was like, he's never had one.
Like, I was like, he's a baby.
Like this is the first one. So yeah, I guess so, because he's red.
like he's what? looks red to me, Chief. I didn't go to color school, but I mean, look at the primary colors here.
I got a master's in color, and yeah, that's red.
Yeah, that's red. Rojo, my guy.
I was like, sure, lady. Like, what the fuck was that? And mind you, like, we had to go to this doctor's appointment at like fucking 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was like the only one available, and it was like all the way on the east side, which is like a 40-minute drive for me, and I'm like just pissed that I had to like do all this shit. I was like, yeah, but it was like the only one. So I was like, I was grateful, obviously, that we got an appointment right there. But still, I was like, what the fuck ever. But Christmas was good. And then now we have the new year coming in. Do you guys do anything for New Year? I actually had someone just check in today and they're like, oh, my family does this huge New Year's thing where we eat like sauerkraut and pork, like, you know, for good luck or whatever.
That's what I did growing up, absolutely. But now that I'm an adult, like what Eric and I plan, like I have a meeting with Austin on New Year's Eve at like 5. So I'm like, you know, we're not doing anything crazy. If anything, what we're going to do is we're going to take gummies and see who can stay awake the longest. And like, I'm already fucked because I take progesterone and that knocks you on your ass anyway. So like, I'll probably be asleep by fucking 7:30 if we're being 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you ain't going to make it to the new year.
I don't have a prayer.
Yeah. I work New Year's Day at the hospital, so I'll probably go to bed per usual. Alex and I started this tradition a couple years ago. On New Year's Eve, we just like go and get sushi. Yeah.
That's fun.
I'm going to ask Mark about having a free meal because I don't have one in my program, even though I just ate fucking off on Christmas Day. So we'll see. But yeah, usually like end the new year with sushi. I don't know why. It just seems like a great way to go out of the year.
Go out with a bang, go out with explosive diarrhea in case you get food poisoning. I love it. Just cleanse your colon for New Year's Day.
Yeah, I'm not getting fucking food poisoning. I don't even care. Like I ate sushi while I was pregnant, which apparently is a no-no.
I mean, what's that one thing? I feel like there was a show where it's like just a little bit.
Yeah, do your fucking research, and that's what I did. And like, people in Japan don't stop eating sushi and X, Y, and Z, and you don't have to get it raw. And
also, imagine being like a Japanese person getting pregnant and being like, "Hey, guess what? Like, the majority of your diet, you can't fucking eat now. Like, dog, yeah.
Starve yourself. Like, no, okay, fine. But yeah, and then same thing. I'll probably, you know, I don't really take gummies, but I do smoke, so there's that. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, if I was cool enough to smoke, I'd smoke, but I don't know how to smoke.
I know you were like,
I just don't
was
understand.
gonna say, I was gonna say you're retarded, but I feel like
I
that.
mean, kinda.
Yeah, like it's like it's definitely a challenge for you. Like you don't know how
Yeah.
to. I guess you don't know how to inhale, which is like weird because like you're just breathing every day, so it doesn't make sense.
I
But
just like when I like, but like it's like not just breathing though, because like I'll like, but like it just does, it just gets stuck in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like I don't know, like a like trachea just freaks out and it's like, no.
your body's like, this isn't good. Don't do it.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if that has something to do with like how traumatic I find throwing up, where it's like my body kind of like just suppresses everything that I'm not sure of, because like I find vomiting just like atrocious. Like if I have to vomit, I will like wait until I literally cannot take it anymore before I throw up. So I'm almost wondering if it's like something to do with like my reflex that my body's just like, nah, chief.
Yeah, but those are like two separate things, like your trachea and your esophagus, but nonetheless, like they
True.
don't, they're two different pipes, you
But maybe
know?
my body doesn't know that, dog. Maybe my brain is retarded and it's like, nah, but you got one pipe.
One pipe just aspirating all
That's
day.
right. It's just
Damn. But yeah, like honestly, that kind of ties into like talking about like I guess New Year's like resolutions, but like essentially like bringing in the new year, like a lot of people go, I should say they go out with a bang with like alcohol and drinking and all of that. And then like come New Year Day, they are what is that? What the fuck do people call it? Like dry January. I never did that. Like I never thought that that was a thing for me. Because one, I came from like an alcoholic background,
Yep.
and two, I was like, I like never really had that as a goal for me. I don't know why. Like it just never was. And I don't know if it would have like at the time helped me because like my alcohol is mostly dependent on like trauma and whatever, more like stress and psychological stuff. But I do think that that is in turn a good goal. And I do think like obviously either stopping it all or cutting back, not only will like it impact like your health, but also like, you know, if you do have any like fitness goals too, but like pulling back on alcohol can be like beneficial for like tons of reasons.
Absolutely. Like, I know we both, like, even though you didn't go to Ohio University proper, right? Or did you? Were you ever on campus?
Yeah, but I
Okay.
was
So
like I
you were.
didn't attend. My yeah, like so my
So you
cousins,
know. Oh,
yeah. I went for Halloween for maybe like 4 or 5 years in a row.
God.
Yeah.
Dude, wait. When did you go to Halloween? During what years?
So my first year I think was 2013.
Okay.
And then like 3, 4 years after that. So 13, 14,
Consecutively.
15. Yeah.
You want to like, I just like, I don't know why my brain was just like, bro, we would have been at OU at the same time and we would
Yeah,
have never
probably.
known it.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Well, there's like so many fucking people that go there,
But
but
like, yeah, but like at the same time, like we both were health sciences because you were nursing, right? So you would have been in Walter Hall a lot of times and the other one. Fuck, what was the main building? Dude, I'm having like an epiphany here.
brain fart.
Is it Grover? No. Does that sound right? Because I
Yeah.
remember always walking by all the nursing students in this one building where a lot of my science classes were.
I'm gonna Google it right now,
Please
like the
do.
building. Yeah, Grover Center. No, yeah.
Yeah.
Grover. Yeah, Grover Center.
Yeah, it was Grover Center. Absolutely. That was because I saw all the nurses, like, especially in the atrium, just like chilling. Bitch, I probably saw you and like didn't even think twice. Isn't that
Well,
wild?
I was just there to party. It's not like I went, I didn't go there for
But still, I
that.
probably saw you because I went there to party too.
Yeah. You know that frat house that was across from the BP right there on the corner of what was that house called?
I'm sure Eric would. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was. There's a gas station that's like kind of like catty-corner.
Yeah, where we always got like our case of beer in the beer cave, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that was like that's like where I lived when I went there. Just like partying at this fucking frat house all the time. It was fun. It was a good time. But essentially, yeah, like at this time, like I didn't really have like a lot of like health or physique goals for myself. So that's why like I was out living that life. But
Oh,
yeah,
same.
especially coming from, you know, that background of like being at a party school, especially like living in Ohio, and you know, like around here, there isn't like a lot of shit to do. And a lot of people on the weekends do go out to bars and just drink. Like that's like the thing to do. And I'm not saying like that's like an excuse, but like, you know, I have a friend who lives in Utah and like their weekend fun is like, oh yeah, we go snowboarding, wow, or like we go on hikes and we do X, Y, and Z. It's just like different cultures, right? So like growing up and like that being like a quote unquote normal, you know, was kind of like hard to like stray away from too, because the thing is like a lot of people don't realize this, and this was so fucking hard for me when I first was like, okay, I need to cut back, I need to pull back, because I did this twice. I went sober for a year. It was probably closer to like 10 months, I think, was my first go around. And then you can call it like a relapse, but I had like a 4 month bender, and then I had to do it again. And both of those times, I lost a lot of friends.
Yes, I'm so
Yeah.
glad you touched on that.
And that was like hard because it's like, you want to make this change for yourself, right? Like, so for whatever reason it was, like whether you want to feel healthier, whether you want to set a good example for your kids, be a better person, or have like a physique goal, you know, you have to obviously stop, but also too, like you don't realize like how much is like tied in with that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, why can't you just come out? Well, first of all, I was an extreme, but second of all, like I couldn't be around it, right? Second of all, like, they stop asking you to
Yep.
like hang out because that's all they do. And that was really hard for me. And I had to like even now, like I don't have a lot of friends that are local, because I mean, they're still in their 30s doing the same shit we did when we were 19. And
Absolutely.
that doesn't align with my lifestyle
Yep.
anymore. And that was a hard realization for me. And I think that's why a lot of people will quit like on that goal, or staying true
Yeah.
to their promise, I should say. It's like, because it gets lonely at first until you find your group of people, because like you realize who is actually there for you and who is not. Because if you start pulling away and focusing on things that are better for you, I realize that like your friends should support you, right? Regardless. But like if they stop asking you to hang out, if they stop, you know, checking in on you because you're not drinking anymore, were they even really a true friend?
It this is like hitting hard. It's hitting me hard so hard because like literally that's kind of what happened with me. Whereas like I was like, oh, I'm an exercise physiology major, yet I don't really look fit and active and healthy, even though I went to the gym and tracked my macros. It was just my whole life and my whole identity was disordered. And not and like college is already difficult because you're away from home and stuff like that. And then like alcohol like made it worse. We're like, yeah, you were fun or whatever when you were like shit face drunk. But then like, you know, you had your friends. And then when I decided, especially my fresh or my excuse me, my senior year, especially because I was kind of graduating early, I was like, I really don't feel good. I don't like how I look. I don't like how I feel. And like again, if I want to be a trainer, like I can't be acting this way. And unfortunately, you know, maybe I went about it the wrong way, but like the people that I thought were my friends and I had connections with, like when I decided that I wanted to stop drinking and I also like wanted to go vegan at the time, which I know that was also fucked up in its own way, but like I still wanted to go out and see them or I wanted to do other things with them. And like you mentioned, like they just kind of stop inviting you to do things. And what's so unfortunate is I was so close to these people, like they were in my fucking wedding. Like the one guy was Eric's best man. Like my maid of honor was like my best friend. And like all these other people were my friends. And like legit, I look at my wedding album and like I don't talk to most of these people. And like it makes me cry because it's like we were so close, or at least I thought. But then I'm almost left speechless because it's like you would hang out outside, like in classes or even just like at each other's houses and stuff like that. But like when push came to shove, you're like you said, like were they really your friends in the first place? And maybe it was just like happenstance, you know? But like, dude, like I said, when I get my wedding album, like it's hard. It is hard to know that those people who once meant everything to me Now I don't even know like where they live or like what they're doing. Like it's hard. And people do not talk about that when they talk about wanting to go sober, is they don't talk about the isolation. Like it's one thing to have the internal withdrawals, especially if you have a really hard time with alcohol, but like the social aspect of your drunk buddies not inviting you out anymore and then leaving you to your own devices, and then you feel lonely. So what do you want to do? You want to self-soothe. You want to go back to alcohol. You want to like feel better. You want to be with your quote unquote friends. But like, if you truly want to stop drinking, it's like, don't stop seeing people. You have to go out and find connections. You're going to have to start doing things that don't involve going up to a bar. But they have non-alcoholic beverages. They have non-alcoholic beers, wine, spritzers, whatever. Fucking Diet Coke slaps titties. But like, you still have to put yourself out there, because if you feel sorry for yourself and become a recluse, you are likely going to fail. And that's something that you don't want to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's like another thing too, is like alcohol is like definitely like a coping mechanism
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure, right? Like it's a stress reliever. It helps people with anxiety. It helps people just unwind, so to speak. So, you know, with that being said, like not only are you like having to kind of like change your social life and change who, you know, has been there for you, but like also too, you have to learn how to sit with like being uncomfortable with your feelings and your thoughts. Because like I even know for me, like right now, like over the weekend, like my kid was sick and I was so fucking stressed and I was like, what I wouldn't do for a fucking glass of tequila, like just straight to the fucking dome, because I was stressed, I was overwhelmed, I didn't sleep good this weekend, and I'm just like, goddamn, you
Yeah.
know, because I don't want to deal with this, and it's just so much easier to use that as that coping mechanism or to de-stress. So like, I think a lot of people will just resort back to it because it's like, oh man, like I'm really stressed, I'm uncomfortable, and one, you're not willing to try any new ways because a lot of those new ways, like, don't have that quick immediate.
Yeah.
Like you start to get drunk, you start to get buzzed, and you're like, oh man, like I already feel better. Whereas like you sit down and you journal your feelings away, like it may take a couple of days for that to like actually like remove that trauma, or like, and it's slower and it takes time, and you actually have to put in more effort when either you're journaling or doing a puzzle or coloring or walking versus just sitting there and lifting your hand to your fucking mouth with an alcoholic beverage in it. So I do think like that's why a lot of people will start going back and deviating or from their promise to themselves of like trying to decrease their amount of alcohol intake, is because like one, your social life has changed, two, you can feel lonely, and when you do feel lonely, you don't want to be stuck with those thoughts, right? So, you know, with that being said, like yeah, I see it a lot. Like I think the success rate, not that there's like a rate for that, but like for people who, I mean, for people who stay sober who have an alcoholic problem, like it's hard, it takes years, right? And then people who are just trying to be better, like I see it all the time. Like people will be like, I think bodybuilding is a good one, actually. When you talk about prep, and people be like, oh yeah, like I haven't drank my entire prep, and it's like 16 weeks, and then the minute prep's over, people start drinking again, like insane, or like re not insane, but like regularly, like every weekend going out. I see it all the fucking time.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it is just, it's advertised to us consistently. And then also, if you think about like, how were you exposed as a child? Like, did your parents drink? Was it casually? Was it, you know, an addiction? Was it, you know, very occasionally? And that also like impacts and influences how you view alcohol. Because for me, unfortunately, I had ox complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Like my mom's side of the family, they don't drink, they're sober. Like it's not that she never had a glass of alcohol, but it's just, it wasn't her thing. She didn't drink. Conversely, on my dad's side, I mean, I hate to call it alcoholism, but there was some level of thoughts toward alcohol that I don't think was positive. I don't think it was just like a, oh, you're having like a glass of beer type of deal. Like it could have been alcoholism. I'm not entirely sure, just because I was so young, but it was not a positive relationship. It wasn't a balanced relationship, if you will, with alcohol. And then I look at Eric, where his mom was Catholic and his dad was a home brewer, but he wouldn't drink to excess. It was like you drink a beer or two, especially like a quality beer, not just like something like a Natty Light or a Coors. Like it was like a quality beer, and they would talk about the tasting notes and stuff like that. And so that was very interesting for me, because again, it's like from 0 to 100 on my side of the family versus Eric's side, where it was like 50%. Like they could take it or leave it, but they enjoy drinking it. So they took it. And then deciding how Eric and I wanted to spend our money, because obviously alcohol is expensive, especially in 2024 and soon to be 2025 prices. I'm like, I don't want alcohol to be budgeted in our finances because it doesn't align with me and my health goals as a bodybuilder. But then also, like, looking at his genetic predisposition and his family history, a lot of heart attacks, a lot of strokes, cancers, both like of like the stomach digestive tract, but then also prostate. I was like, baby, cancer is going to increase that risk, or excuse me, drinking is going to increase that risk of all of those things. And so it's like, how can we find middle ground? And like throughout the holidays, because I know Eric likes to drink because he had a positive upbringing with his dad in terms of alcohol. We went to Whole Foods and got non-alcoholic porters and IPAs. And it's great because he gets to drink something with taste that has hops and stuff like that that he likes, but he's not getting that the detriment of alcohol. And so that was like a nice compromise where, you know, maybe we'll go out to a bar, but we'll both have Diet Coke. So we still have that quote unquote happy hour where we're watching TV, shooting shit. Maybe he gets like a thing of wings. But like the whole point is there are ways to navigate your social life, your marriage, your friendship circles, but it takes effort and communication. And you have to lay down what is important to you and stick to your guns and not give in to peer pressure, spousal pressure, whatever. Like you need to stick up for yourself and what's important to you.
Yeah, I know, I agree. And I think there's, yeah, like you said, family, like upbringing plays a significant role in that as well. I mean, my grandfather died of cirrhosis, so that tells you where my family's at with that. So,
Yeah. And that's hard. That is
yeah.
so hard.
So I think like a good thing to touch on too is like, you know, we came from party schools drinking, that was like our norm growing up. So like, I guess what would be like, or what was a turning point for you? Was it like physique? Was it you're just like, oh man, like I don't feel good doing this? Like, what made you want to make the change to like remove alcohol? Because I know for me, like, I'll say like what was like the biggest thing for me, and then after you go, but like I want to know like maybe it can help somebody. Like, why did you want to make this change? Why did you want to give up alcohol and not have it in your daily life, other than it being like a financial expense?
Yeah, I mean, initially in college, because obviously in college, like you're on top of the world, especially when you lived in Athens, which is like the poor city in Ohio, and like you could get a shot of alcohol for like a quarter. Like it wasn't the financial aspect, it was because I was in a health science and I didn't feel healthy and I didn't look healthy. And I was like, how am I gonna be a trainer when I look like a bag of potatoes? Like, how am I gonna market myself if I'm not even fucking taking care of myself? And so it was, I would say, noble intentions. I wanted to be a good role model. I wanted to be a good leader, but kind of like you, I would either make exceptions or I had like a stint where I was sober. But then, like, I remember graduating, we moved to Dublin, Ohio, and I kind of remember getting back into old tendencies where it was like you started to drink again, not necessarily to get drunk or excessive, which is definitely where I used to go. Like if I was gonna drink, I was gonna get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? But then it just came like excessive calorie type of deal, like just wanting to be sociable with my husband, not wanting to feel left out. So I definitely like watered down my importance. And then when I got into bodybuilding or really wanted to stop just making excuses, and honestly, again, I started to feel like shit again because of the fact that I cannot express enough how I couldn't think, how I felt watery and bloated, how my digestion was not good, my total energy was lethargic. I was so depressed. It was so hard for me to feel genuine joy when I was drinking. And when I finally was like, listen, you're either gonna fucking do this or you're not. And I am someone that when I get my mind to something, I want to do it right. And when I got that mentality of like, you are only hurting yourself with this action that you are choosing to repeatedly do, that was like, again, it was a no-brainer. It's like, okay, well, if I'm going to stop drinking, then I'm going to stop drinking. So we're going to save money. I'm going to feel healthier. I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to be less depressed. I'm going to have better clarity when it comes to the decision making, especially because at that time I was starting my own business for realsies. And so I was like, I have everything to gain by dropping this out of my life. And I have not turned back since. And I think, like you, it's been 5, maybe 6 years for me. Like, I don't, unfortunately, I don't remember the exact date, which I kind of regret, but it has been years. And I couldn't be happier with the decision. I really couldn't be.
I agree. Yeah. And like for me, like I needed to understand like what alcohol was like doing to my body for me to quit. Like kind of same way. Like I didn't feel healthy, but like I needed to know like the damage behind it because, you know, I went on like a huge like spiritual journey of like I like fell into that. I don't want to say it was like a trap, but I fell into that whole like it's a good one, but it's like what do they say? Like you only get or your body's a temple. That's what it started as.
Oh,
Like,
yeah, that's a good one.
yeah. And then that came into like, you know, you only get one body, right? For the rest of your life. So, and I stand by that and I like that. Like, why would you not treat your one body good? So, but like for me, I was like, oh, I want to treat my body like a temple. Like that worked with me like during like my recovery and being sober. But I had to like go into the depths of like what alcohol was doing to my body. And it wasn't just like, oh, it's causing inflammation. It's causing me to not look my best. No, it was like, what is it doing to the liver? Like, what is it doing to my immune system? Like, what is it doing to my pancreas, my heart? Like, you know, what is the risk of getting cancer from doing this? Like, you know what I'm saying? So like for me, like I needed to really dive into like all of the issues that are like associated with alcohol drinking. And like, granted, mine was like excessive, but like also too, like just being a nurse and seeing all the alcoholics that would like come into the hospital, it's like just their overall like health is so terrible. Like they're always like vitamin deficient, like, and they always feel like shit. And then a big turning point for me too was like the way that it works on the brain and like how that is a profound effect of like depression and anxiety, right? Because like every time you drink and then like the next couple of days where you don't drink, so say you're like a weekend warrior, your body is like craving that hit. It really is. And it's like, you get depressed and you feel anxious and it's you're just living in that vicious cycle because you're like okay then your body gets like the alcohol and this is why like withdrawal can be so serious for people is because like your body your brain starts to recognize that and it's honestly like you like it plays such a significant role in your mental health and it's like okay yeah like I start to feel so shitty during the week then I drink this but like it makes me feel better XYZ, but then
Exactly.
I'm in that same cycle again. And it's like, okay, like, what if I just completely stop this? Will I not have these highs and lows? And sure enough, I didn't. And like, for me, like, that was a huge point. And then also, too, like, I had to look at like the quality of my life. And like, I got to the point, like, I know a lot of people, like, this was so bad, but like, I wouldn't eat all day because I wanted to save my calories for alcohol.
I did that shit too.
Not, and at the time, like, when I was like my worst, oh my God, I remember this like so fucking vividly. I would wake up and I would run fasted. I would run like anywhere from like 3 to 7 miles in the morning. I would come back, I would have lettuce, literally fucking lettuce with like Italian dressing on it. And that was it. And I would not eat the rest of the day until I went out to the bar. And like even when I was drunk, I never ate because I was like, oh, that'd be too many calories. So I would just drink alcohol and like my body showed it. It was so inflamed. I felt like, oh man, like I was just like skinny fat, you know?
Dude, I'm gonna send you some photos because you were talking about like
Wish I
how
could
you looked
find
and felt.
somebody.
I remember I committed to giving up alcohol during this 4 week shred. And so it was the start. It was September 24th, 2018. And like, look at my hair. Look at my body composition. Like, just like a sack of potatoes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
Like, look at
exactly.
my hair, dude. Like, raw, greasy, and it was bad. And so that would have been the start of my sobriety, technically. But just like you, like when I wanted to compensate for drinking, it was like you'd starve all day. But like, dude, do you remember that like diet bread where it was like 35 calories? Like, it was like
Yeah.
Sara Lee diet bread.
Literally, yeah, dude. I ate that all my last
Yeah,
prep.
right, exactly. So it's like
Fucking
I wanted to have
garbage.
something for breakfast, but it was like lunch or whatever. So I would do two slices of that Diet Sara Lee bread, like a tablespoon of powdered peanut butter mixed with water and stevia and cinnamon. And like, quote unquote, that was like my lunch. So it was like not even 100 calories. just so I could drink. But then, like, because I was dating Eric at the time, and like when guys drink, they want to like not only get fucked up, but they want to eat, right? And because again, I wanted to be like included in the social environment, I'd eat. So like I did get fucking fat. Now, granted, I was not morbidly obese again, but still, I was like definitely pushing like 150, 160. And it wasn't a clean 150, 160. You know what I'm saying? It was like, again, that potato look.
Oh, I know. I just saw it.
Yeah.
Would you
That
ever
was
look at
legit my potato look.
like pictures? Like this is what when I saw your pictures and like I think this. I don't know if you think this way, but I'm just like, oh, her poor body. Like you could tell
Oh,
it's
no.
struggling and it hates it. And like I never like look at people and I'm just like, oh man, like they're fat, X, Y, and Z. I'm just like, damn, like that body shows. Like I think because I've been there and you've been there too, but like
Yeah.
that body shows that there's a struggle, like
Yeah.
mentally. Whatever it is, but I'm just like, your body is like screaming for help.
Yeah. And then
And
like
like,
look at my face like after the 4 week shred where it was like, yeah, it was an extreme diet. But like,
oh.
dude, even my face, my skin is like one color. It's not red. You know what I'm saying?
That's like day and night.
I know. And like a granted, it was a 4 week like almost contest prep like shred where it was you were meant to shred pounds fast. Like I probably lost like 20 pounds in a month. Then again, not a sustainable thing. Very much like a 4 week, like I said, end of a contest prep where you're fucking pushing. But I gave up all alcohol. And like I said, I was even vegan in the first photo too. So you can't just claim that like, oh, it's animal products fucking causing the inflammation. Like dog, no. It was alcohol too. So like don't come for me with that. But like still, it's like you don't imagine and you don't realize how bad you feel until you start feeling good and start making like the quote unquote hard decisions for your life and your health until you make them and then you keep those promises and then you get to reap the rewards. And like you don't understand how profound that is until after you're through like the initial like shit hump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and honestly, like, I feel great. Like, I feel
Oh.
so good. And like, oh, I never want to drink again. One, because I don't think I can. I've tried it, guys. Like, I literally have. I've tried to be that person that goes out for like one or two drinks. And I mean, I have a history of addiction in my family, so it just makes sense, right? But yeah, like I feel so good, and I just like I can like distinctly remember like times of like being hungover and like I drank excessively. Like I would not go home until I puked. Like that's how drunk I was like almost every single night, which is disgusting. And like even then, like honestly, like I just and like the deeper I get into this, like I even tell people now too, like some of my clients, like if they have a drink or whatever, because I'm not the fucking devil. I'm like, if you want to go enjoy a drink, sure, fine. It's like, it's gonna delay progress. Like you're not gonna
Yeah.
feel good. But I honestly, and this is like shitty of me, and let me know your thoughts, but like I won't let them work out the next day. I don't give a fuck.
Oh,
I'm like,
100%.
okay, because like some people are like, oh, like what do you mean? Like I need to get back in and sweat it all out. Like, no, your body needs recovery.
Go
You're
to a
damn.
sauna, like if you need to sweat it out, but you're not like going to the gym.
You're not even gonna make any fucking progress. Like your liver is so taxed from the night before. Like that's the only thing it gives a fuck about is getting that toxin out of your body. So, like you're probably dehydrated as fucking well. So like your lift is gonna be shitty. You didn't sleep well, regardless of like, oh, I had the best sleep of my life last night because I was drunk. No, the fuck you weren't. You think it was, but it wasn't. Like if you were to wear an Oura ring or whatever, like some chip up your butt that people do for tracking every goddamn thing that they're doing, it's gonna tell you that like your fucking REM and your sleep cycles are fucking terrible. I
Yeah.
guarantee you. Like, because that's the reality of it. Like, people are like they think that like, oh man, like one will cancel out the other,
I was like, that's that doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work. Like, it's like what we said last week. It's like one bad off-plan meal doesn't replace one good on-plan meal. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, stop playing Tetris to fit your biases and focus on having better check marks rather than accumulating a bunch of red X's throughout your week, right? Like, it's that black and white thinking that is destroying progress and destroying, like, healing, especially if you are trying to heal from some any type of recovery, even if it's not alcohol, maybe it's recreational drugs or maybe the hard stuff, and you're trying to give that up just to be better. But it's like you can't think that one will cancel out because like Everything keeps score. Your body keeps fucking score.
Yeah, no, it really does. I'm like, that's why I'm like, don't even work out. Just focus on like getting your water and your fucking meals in, because like
Eat some
it's a
veggies.
and like honestly, and then like I go back to thinking, I'm like, well, there you pretty much just wasted 2 days of your week where you could have been
Yeah.
making this, because the day that you drink and then the day to recover, like, you know what I'm
And
saying? And
honestly,
like,
like probably even the day after that, maybe not from a liver health standpoint, but like from just a brain fog, like,
oh yeah, energy, sleep, like that's like the thing too. Like if you like, for me at least, and I know I have like a lot of my own issues, but like this weekend, like I didn't like, there was 2 nights where I didn't get good sleep, and I know like the next 8 days, just because of 2 nights I didn't get sleep, like it takes me so long to feel like 100%. And like if anybody would have talked to me yesterday, like I have no idea how I made it through my fucking client check-ins, because my brain fog was so goddamn bad from like not having good quality sleep. And it took like, oh my God, it was so funny. Side note, guys, it took me so long to do check-ins because my brain wasn't firing and I was like triple checking everything I was doing because I knew it. People were messaging me like, hey, did you get my check-in? Like, yes, I know. I'm fucking slow. Okay. Like today, I knew. Yeah. Cause I'm like you know, you're like, oh, check-in sent at like whatever, 6:30 in the morning. I don't know how you work at 6:30 in the morning, but nonetheless. And then respond what? Like you respond by like 6:45. Like I'm relatively like within the same hour of people.
Yeah.
So like the fact that it was like 2 p.m. and people who checked in at 9 were like, hey, did you get my check-in? Are you okay? Like,
Are
what's
you
going on?
alive? I'm just like poking you with a stick.
Yeah, they're like, did I do something wrong? No, trust me, you didn't. First of all, that's an issue. You should go to therapy if you think you did something wrong just by not doing anything wrong. But I was like, oh man, like this is not good. Like I'm fucking slow. But it comes back to that sleep. And that's, you know, like again, like that's where alcohol plays a role. And like I felt like shit. So it's just like, but 5 years ago, when I was drinking all the time, I thought that was like normal to feel like that. And it's like, if you can get over that hurdle of trying to feel better or wanting to feel better, and then like sticking it out through that uncomfortable like couple of weeks where like you sit with your feelings, where your social group starts changing, where you have to find different like hobbies to do at night, which blows my mind, 'cause I'm like, just go to bed. People are like, well, what am I supposed to do at night if I'm not going out with my friends? Sleep. I don't
Sleep,
know.
go to bed, read, knit. Like, you know what I want to start doing? I don't
It's
know what the proper term is, whether it's knitting, crocheting, like whatever, but like the end result's a fucking dinosaur. That's what I want to start doing. I just like want to like do something with my hands and then like 4 hours later just have a fucking plush dinosaur.
Oh, I want to make a sweater.
I want a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, a dinosaur is like cool, but here's the thing: like, I like sometimes I just like don't want more things, and now that I have a child, like my house is filled with things, so I'm like, I could wear a sweater. What would I do with that dinosaur? I don't know. I don't
Just
know.
have it on your desk, just like cheering you
Yeah,
on.
well, I guess it would show like my hard work. Okay, should we learn how to crochet or knit? Well,
For it.
first of all, let's find out what the right one is to make a dinosaur, and then let's do it. We should make each other dinosaurs. Oh my God, that's what we should do. Not share them with each other. And then by the time we're done, we'll just mail it to each other and we should open them up. Like
Dude, mine's
either
gonna look
on.
retarded. It's gonna have like one hand like this, the other.
That's what I'm saying. We need to open them up like on like whatever, like a Zoom call or podcast, or whatever it is, in front of each other so we can see each other's reaction and see
Dude,
what they
yours is
look
gonna
like.
be like amazeballs perfect, and mine's just gonna look like it like went through the dryer.
Dude, no, I don't know if I can knit though. That's like fucking hard. All right,
Don't
we're
think
doing
so
it.
either.
We're gonna
I
do
don't know
it.
if I can because I broke that thumb in college. Speaking of getting fucked up and drunk in college, my first time drinking in the halls, and I mixed guys, I mixed a lot, I mixed too much. I don't even remember this night, but I remember falling down, and apparently I broke my thumb, so this thumb like doesn't work right. So like when I like you when you like press down the to talk. And like to record a voice memo, this thumb will like almost go numb after
No
like
shit.
30 seconds. It'll just be, and it's trying so hard. And then,
Just
like,
sweating.
you start
Shit.
doing
Okay.
thumb curls or some shit.
Yeah, you need
Little thumb
like yeah.
hugs.
Yeah. Oh, hand hugs. Love it.
Hugs.
So let's round this out with like, what do you think? I mean, that's a pretty good story, but is that your top drunk story of
Oh, man. I can't put that as my top drunk story only because I need to include one that absolutely humiliates my husband just to keep him humble. I'm going to go with the one drunk story where I was not yet a student enrolled at Ohio University. I was still at Sinclair Community College finishing my gen eds, but I would frequent OU just to visit my boyfriend in college. So this was one February day. So it would have been February 2015. The week prior, I went down because it was Eric's birthday. So I was surprising him for his birthday. And then the week after was Valentine's Day. The weekend after was Valentine's Day. So I went again, right? And so I got a hotel for the weekend for Valentine's Day so we could, have be like Marvin Gaye and get it on. And he surprised me by putting to use his chemical engineering degree, even though he's a fucking freshman, and he made dorm wine hooch.
Oh, okay.
And he
Maybe Eric's
also,
time in the slammer. That's what I think, but whatever.
exactly. Bless up to Welch's. But also somehow got his paws on Fireball. Okay.
Okay.
As we have noticed, I'm a cinnamon girly, 10 grams straight to the dome. So we had Fireball, we had dorm wine hooch, and probably something else that he somehow got his paws on. And we drank. And his alcohol, his wine was way more than he quote unquote calculated. And bro, it was messy. It was messy. Somehow the lube got everywhere. And the next thing I know, and guys, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I don't do anal. Okay. I'm just gonna put that out
Oh, I
there.
think I've heard this story actually.
Yes. And but let me tell you, we had so much lube and not enough wits where the hole, it was the wrong hole. And what I was like, I remember this so vividly because I'm trying to get out of my mouth words. And I'm trying to say, you're not in my vagina. But of course, since I'm like however many fireballs and dorm wine hooch deep, all that could come out of my slurs was vagine, vagine. And he's like, what the fuck are you saying? And then he realized his mishap and he's like, oh. And I was like, yes. And I'm gonna tell you, I did not shit right for like 3 or 4 days after that expedition. And I'm like, never again. No, no to the pooper. You stay out of my pooper. It's my pooper. Fuck.
That's like funny, but not. You're just like Vagine. He's like, oh yeah,
Vagine. So I'll
I'm
still
doing a
say that.
great.
I'll like, Vagine.
Yeah, he's like, I'm doing a great fucking job. I
That's
love that.
right.
Yeah, I love that. That's hilarious. So I have like a ton. I was like trying to think
Let's
of.
do dive in.
No, some of them are like really bad. Like, I don't even want to talk about them. But I would have to say one of my most memorable. So I have to say, first and foremost, my mother was a goddamn saint during my years of dealing with this. And she, oh my God, this is crazy. She was a saint this night. But anyways, I don't even think I was 21 yet. I think it was like maybe 20. And I was at this 4th of July party. And my friend's boyfriend drove us home in her car. He was sober. And mind you, like this night just got out of hand. I was drinking, I don't even know. It's like some vodka and like root beer. I think they were trying to be like root beer floats or something disgusting.
Oh,
So,
that sounds
yeah.
like a like that sounds like a an experiment.
Yeah. And like I was so drunk to the point that I was putting roman candles in people's mailboxes. So I will probably get arrested for that, for blowing up a whole bunch of people's mailboxes on the street. Nonetheless, yeah, terrible time. So, anyways, like I was a bad person. But anyways, so friends are driving me home. They put me in the back seat of the car. And mind you, I am someone who gets car sick regularly.
Oh,
I can get,
really? I think I forgot that about you.
yeah, I can get car sick in the front seat. It's crazy. Yeah, if I'm riding like shotgun front seat, like,
But
yeah,
not when you drive.
not when I drive. No, it's weird. Yeah. So I was in the back seat of this two-door Honda Civic, and we get so close to my fucking house, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna puke, I'm gonna puke. I'm like, you can hold it, you can hold it. Next thing you know, I puked all over the back seat of her car, and her interior was like light tan, and I had that root beer, whatever the fuck it was, all night long. And so it was like black throw up everywhere. And I'm throwing up all over the driveway, it's all over the back of her car, like her boyfriend and her are like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh my God. So like they had to take my car because I was like, okay, I'll clean your car the next day. But anyway, so I'm like walking into my house and my mom like opens the door to like help me. I'm trying to tell her what goes on. And then I just turn around and I just like puke all over my hair. Like I had like a weave in. I used to wear like weaves a lot. And I had like this weave. And it wasn't like really expensive. It was maybe like $300. But anyways, so like she had to take They were like, I think they were clip-ins at the time. So she had to unclip them, and she hand washed the puke out of my hair because I literally could not even fucking stand. So not only did I destroy my friend's car that I had to clean the next day hungover, which was disgusting. Like I had to go shampoo it, and like there was like chunks and shit in the throw up. And then my mom had to wash my fucking throw up out of my fucking hair. Yeah. So like, and this was like, this started to become like a regular thing. It's not crazy. Like,
What's your mom's name again?
Sandy.
Sandy's an MVP. She's best
Oh, dude.
mom.
Literally. Yeah. So like that was like a whole fucking fiasco, dude. So like that's one of my most like memorable ones because there was like multiple parties involved, like my best friend, her boyfriend at the time, and then like my mom. Oh my God, dude. Like it was a fucking shit show.
You were a tiny thing too, so I just imagine like a little sprinkler just.
That's literally what it was. Yeah. Like during my drinking days, I had like zero muscle and I was like maybe like I don't think I was over 120 pounds and I'm
What did
5'5".
you eat though? What were the chunks from?
I don't
Your
know. I don't
lettuce?
probably no, yeah. I don't know if there was like something at the party that I ate. I have no idea, but I'm just like, oh my God, it's a terrible idea. Yeah. It
That's
was
impressive. Like, I'm
yeah.
mostly just impressed that, like, I'm impressed by the sheer volume, knowing how small you were at the time. Like, your body was just like giving you buckets. It's like, here, bitch, like, let's go. Get this out of here.
Yeah, dude, it was. But yeah, and then, I was like thinking back at those times again, I'm like, ooh, I never want to feel like that or do that. It's
Oh
embarrassment.
shit. Oh my God.
Oh, well, guys, if you are someone who is going into the new year and trying to cut back on drinking or stop drinking altogether, know that it's very rewarding, but it can be a struggle at first, especially like if you do have to change your social life, if people are pressuring you, if they don't respect that boundary, if your health starts to like decline, like it's a good idea to maybe change it, but like it can't be difficult. But like again, like we said, like it's very rewarding. Like Ash and I can stand here, sit here and say, like, not only do we look good, but like more importantly, we feel good day in and day out. And our bank accounts really do love us for not spending loads and loads of money on alcohol.
Exactly. Like you feel better, you look better. Like even if your goal isn't like fat loss, you will drop weight. You will drop inflammation. You will drop, likely some fat, especially if you're a feller, because chances are like you're going to be holding it in your beer belly section anyway. And then also you're going to be spending less money on like your drunk foods. And but it's like it's so important to replace those habits with better habits. So whether it's a non-alcoholic beverage, whether it's a Diet Coke, whether it's more water. Like whether it's just a completely different activity, it is important for this, quote unquote detox process to replace those poor habits. Because again, if you decide to do nothing, it's going to be a lot harder because you will feel more isolated. But get involved more in your community, do things during the day, but don't feel like a failure when like those dark thoughts come creeping in, because like it is kind of a part of this like sober process where you'll start second guessing yourself if you should actually do this because maybe you feel lonely. Like it's normal, but help yourself out and acknowledge them and have an accountability buddy that's willing to help you so that way you can also be vulnerable, because it's really important that you have support during this time, whether it's family, friends, or someone that you know is actually a real one. Because unfortunately, when you decide to go sober, you end up losing a lot of people too.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Unfortunately, sometimes that just happens. But until next time, guys, hope you guys had a
Happy
good
New Year.
Yeah, happy new year. It'll be the new year when you listen. So
Awesome.
bye.
Well, thanks for another fun year, guys, of 2024, and we appreciate your support come 2025.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right,
Bye.
peace.
Adios.